Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of Entero Healthcare Solutions Limited, hosted by IIFL Capital Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Please note this conference may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Jeewani from IIFL Capital Services. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and I welcome you to Entero Healthcare's fourth quarter FY25 earnings conference call being hosted by IIFL Capital. From Entero, we have with us today the senior management team comprising Mr. Prabhat Agarwal, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Prem Sethi, the full-time Director and COO, and Mr. Alankar Kaushik, Group CFO. I will hand over the call to the management for them to make their opening comments, and post that, we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Rahul. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the earnings conference call to discuss the operational and financial performance for quarter four FY25. My name is Prabhat, and on this call, I'm joined by Prem, co-founder and CEO of Entero, Bala, who is the Group CFO, and SGA, which is our investor relations advisor. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchanges and on our company's website. I shall provide a brief overview of the operational and financial highlights for the financial year, after which Bala will take you through the highlights of our Q4 FY25 financial performance. Let me begin by saying that FY25 has been a landmark year for Entero Healthcare Solutions. We crossed 5,000 crores in revenues, surpassed 100,000 customer base across pharmacies and hospitals, and achieved over 100 crores in profit after tax. All have been significant milestones in our journey. Also, in the second half of the year, we turned operating cash flow positive. The above achievements give us the confidence in the vast scalability potential of our business model and also validate the market acceptance of our value proposition and right to win in this fragmented market. Our strategic playbook is centered around the following. Number one, organic scale-up in underserved markets through expanding our geographic footprint and product segments and delivering better buying experience to our customers through deployment of technology-led solutions and efficient physical infrastructure and processes. Our presence now spans 500 districts across 20 states, supported by 101 warehouses. We serve more than 95,300 retail pharmacies, which is almost one out of 10 pharmacies operating in India, and 3,600 hospitals. Our product portfolio, or SKU count, has crossed 80,600, and we now work with over 2,700 healthcare product manufacturers. This gives us a truly unique national-scale distribution capability, both deep and broad, in a market that remains largely fragmented. The organic growth is complemented with entry into new geographic markets and newer product segments through inorganic acquisitions that helps us to scale and penetrate the market faster. We successfully completed and integrated 10 strategic acquisitions during the year, contributing 792 crores in annualized revenue. These acquisitions have expanded our geographic footprint in multiple new cities and diversified our product portfolio across new segments, including medical devices, diagnostic consumables and equipment, surgical consumables, and specialty pharma. The unique pan-India distribution platform built from the above attracts many new healthcare brand partnerships and collaboration opportunities as the platform provides wide India reach at one go to every company that associates with us. We have further augmented our value-added service capabilities in terms of comprehensive commercial solutions covering both demand generation and demand fulfillment. This brings us closer to our long-term vision of building India's most comprehensive, efficient, and digitally integrated healthcare distribution platform, which is difficult to replicate. In terms of key financial metrics for the year, FY25 marked the period of solid growth, strategic expansion, and improved operating metrics. We registered revenue of ₹5,096 crores, achieving a 30% year-on-year growth rate, which includes 16% organic growth against an IPM growth of 8%, thereby outpacing the industry growth by 2x. Our gross margins improved by 57 basis points to 9.5%, aided by margin accretive categories and value-added services and procurement efficiencies. EBITDA rose by 53% year-on-year to ₹172 crores, with operating margins expanding by 52 basis points to 3.4%, with last two quarters margin being 3.7%. Profit after tax for the year stood at 107 crores, growing nearly 2.7x from the previous year, underscoring the strength of our operating model and disciplined financial execution. In terms of business outlook for financial year 26 and beyond, looking ahead, we remain very optimistic about the long-term opportunity in the healthcare distribution space in India. The addressable market, which includes pharmaceutical, medical devices, and surgical consumables, stands at $33.2 billion and is expected to grow at 10-11% CAGR over the next 5 years. Importantly, the shift towards organized distribution is accelerating, and we are ideally positioned to lead this consolidation. Our growth strategy going forward will continue to rest on three fundamental pillars. First, we will sustain our organic momentum by onboarding new pharmacies and hospitals and increasing our wallet share with existing customers. Our organic growth has consistently tracked 1.5 to 2 times of IPM growth rate, and we expect this to continue. Secondly, we will pursue discipline in organic growth with a proven M&A playbook and a robust acquisition pipeline. We will continue to onboard high-quality regional players that are strategically aligned with our long-term goals. We have already announced 6 new strategic acquisitions, which collectively would add over 400 crores of annualized revenues and expand our geographical reach and further add to our business portfolio in the areas of trade generics, specialty pharma, medical consumables and devices. These acquisitions are EBITDA margin accretive on blended level and would enhance our overall margins. We are being very selective in our inorganic approach and are targeting to acquire only those targets that add either new geography, new product segment or capabilities and are margin accretive. While we expect the pace of acquisitions to normalize in a couple of years, in the near term, our unutilized IPO proceeds give us the flexibility to capture attractive opportunities. Our FY25 revenue growth was 30%, and we expect to deliver similar or better growth rates in FY26 also. Thirdly, we are committed to expanding EBITDA margins through margin accretive product categories and value added services, procurement efficiencies and operational efficiencies. We are targeting to exceed 4% EBITDA margins in FY26 on full year basis. Fourth, our focus would be on improving working capital management, which in combination with margin expansion would provide positive operating cash flows in full year 26. To conclude, we remain committed to creating a truly differentiated, technology-led and value-accretive platform in healthcare distribution that delivers sustained returns to all our stakeholders. I extend my heartfelt gratitude to our team for their unwavering dedication and to our shareholders for their steadfast support and trust in our vision. With this, I will now request Bala to summarize the company's financial performance for quarter 4 and FY25.
Thank you, Prabhat, and good afternoon, everyone. Coming to quarter 4 FY25 consolidated financial highlights. Revenue for quarter 4 is at 1,339 crore, registering a growth of 29% on year-on-year basis. 11% of this growth is organic and 22% is from acquisitions. As mentioned by Prabhat, we completed 10 acquisitions in FY25 and we have recorded 225 crore revenue from these new acquisitions in Q4 FY25. The seamless integration of our recent acquisitions is expanding our geographic footprint in cities like Jaipur, Ujjain, Trivandrum, Khammam, and we also have expanded our category footprint along with driving meaningful margin expansion and is expected to enhance our operating leverage by unlocking scale efficiencies, enriching our product mix and aligning the acquired entities with our centralized technology-enabled platform. Coming to gross margins, we recorded gross profit margins of 9.8% in quarter 4 vis-a-vis 9% in quarter 4 of the previous year, an improvement of 81 basis points. This improvement in our gross margin reflects our focused efforts to scale high margin categories such as specialty pharmaceutical, surgical consumables, diagnostic products alongside sustained procurement efficiencies enabled by our expanding scale and integrated supply chain infrastructure. Coming now to EBITDA. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 49 crore, which is a growth of 69% year-on-year basis. EBITDA margins in quarter 4 FY25 stood at 3.7% vis-a-vis 2.8% in the same quarter last year, recording an improvement of 86 basis points. This margin expansion was achieved despite ongoing investments to support integration and scale-up of our recent acquisition, underscoring our strength of the operating model and our ability to drive efficiency while building for long-term growth. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at 31 crore, marking a 48% year-on-year growth, driven by strong EBITDA expansion and prudent financial management. Our return on capital employed improved meaningfully to 11.6% compared to 9% in quarter 4 FY24, and we managed to maintain our working capital cycle at 60 days, a reduction of 3 days from the previous quarter. With this, I would like to conclude the presentation and open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Prabhat. Congrats for the good set of numbers. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible, Chintan.
Yes. Okay. So, coming to the organic growth in the presentation, if you see the slide where we compare our organic growth, IPM and others, there is some asterisk on, you know, the net margin impact of 3%. Could you explain what is it which resulted in your growth, organic growth being 11% for the current quarter? If you could explain that.
Yes, you know, in we had a change in agreement with one of our companies where, you know, we are providing super distribution services to them. And earlier we were recognizing the full revenue. Now we are recognizing only the gross margins on that agreement.
Okay, but that completely flows down to EBITDA, I believe, right?
That flows to gross margins and after expenses flows to EBITDA.
Oh, okay. But does that impact like-to-like, how should one look at? Because if I look at that, if I adjust the growth, that 3% for the overall piece, I believe the revenue growth number will look a little better versus what we have reported, right?
So this 11% is after adjusting for that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. If we include that on the like-to-like basis, the growth would have been 32-33% for the quarter.
Yes, correct. Right.
Okay, and does that impact our margin profitability point of view, or this is just an adjustment?
Not meaningfully.
Then the reported margin for the current quarter, 3.7, on the like-to-like basis, it could have been lower, right? If you include the 3% revenue adjustment which we did.
In some single-digit basis points, yes.
Okay. And the guidance of 4% plus for the full year versus our earlier guidance, you know, that we will exit 4Q next year at around 5%. Do we see that trend of, EBITDA improvement continuing, or we will end up somewhere a little lower on the exit rate, run rate basis?
So the guidance we are giving you is that, you know, full year basis we will be more than 4%. Okay, now quarter by quarter is difficult to, you know, provide a guidance right now, you know. In fact, last year also I said that, you know, we'll exit at 4%, which unfortunately we did not do, right? So I don't want to stick my neck out on a quarterly basis and give us, rather it is, you know, the full year performance is much better predictable as compared to quarterly performance.
Got it. And lastly, on the PLS incremental acquisition which we are doing at 44-45 crore for 16% stake, if I look at the numbers of what you have reported in the release, the revenue for the current year FY25 has grown at 10%, while the valuation seemed to be relatively higher, given that, you know, last time around I think we have paid around 110 odd crores for this business. So I'm just trying to understand how should one look at it, the incremental acquisition of that 16% stake in the PLE side.
Yeah, there is some explanation that Bala will give you, because it's not what it appears.
Basically when we did this PLS deal, there was a subsidiary of PLS which was actually commercially not part of the deal. So during the year we have actually kind of sold that subsidiary, and whatever proceeds were there from that sale, that had come into the PLS. And as part of this tranche, we have actually transferred the money that came in. If we exclude this one-off, the valuations are very much similar to what was done at the acquisition stage.
Okay. And the cash flow, if I look at first half to full year, we are still negative in the second half, but your initial comment, you mentioned that OCF is positive in the second half. Just trying to understand that. Because if I look at first half, operating cash flow is around 62 crore negative versus full year is around 77 crore negative. Just trying to connect with you.
So when we are saying we were talking about the operating cash flow from operations, we are positive. We are positive about 50 crores cash flow from operations positive. You are looking at the overall cash flow, while we were looking at the cash flow from operations. That's what we mentioned. That in H2, we've turned cash flow operations positive.
Okay, I'll connect separately. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, I'll join back. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harshi Shah from Beast Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the good results, payment, Prabhat. Just wanted some more clarity on improving working capital to be fully OCF positive next year.
Yes, that's an important focus area for us, you know, and, on a full year basis. I told you that on second half of this year, which Bala explained, we were OCF positive, right? We were OCF positive to the extent of around 50 crores. you know, but on a full year basis, we were negative because in the first half of the year, we were quite negative on OCF. And you would see that in the second half of the year, our margins were much better than the first half of the year in the last year, right? So this once the margin trajectory continues to grow and, you know, working capital improves through our focused efforts, then next year we will definitely be, you know, OCF positive. On a full year.
Can we see any guidance on the net working capital days you plan to make next year?
See, our net working capital days on a quarterly basis is close to 66 days in quarter four. There is definitely, you know, 5% improvement that we are planning for next year.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ish Mohit from SYC Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and congrats for a decent set of numbers. Sir, can you just reiterate what was the guidance for FY25 when it comes to full year margins and like working capital days if they're improving?
Sorry, can you please repeat again?
Sir, I was just saying, can you basically reiterate the guidance that we have for FY26 when it comes to growth and full year EBITDA margins that we are seeing? Not on a quarterly basis, just a broad direction for FY26.
Yeah, so three guidance items. One is on a revenue growth, which we said, you know, this year we had 30% growth. Next year also, you know, we are targeting more than 30% growth. On EBITDA margin basis, you know, on a full year basis, 4% plus EBITDA margin for the coming year. And operating cash flow positive for next year, which will be a combination of both reduction in working capital days and also higher margins.
Right, right. And so just in terms of like just the industry environment right now, how are you seeing the IPM industry environment right now? Because we've seen a lot of domestic pharma companies reporting basically those slowdown which is happening. So how are you seeing the industry environment?
Yeah, we are seeing the same trend. You know, that if you look at the last year, the whole entire year, the industry growth rate was only 8% and last two quarters was like 7%, right? So, you know, historically, you know, industry has grown in double digits earlier and which has come down to, you know, single digits for the last year, right? So we are seeing definitely, you know, a slowdown on the industry growth rate. And that's the reason why I always give a guidance in terms of, you know, our growth rate relative to industry growth rate.
Right, right. And I think we have like finalized some five acquisitions I think which will get executed for in FY26. Are there any more acquisitions in the pipeline?
Yes, there are more acquisitions in the pipeline.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you. All the best for FY26.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shiv Kumar Prajapati from Ambit Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for having my question. Hope I'm audible. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Little bit of noise, but you
Sorry for the inconvenience. So, sir, my first question
is... Sir, I'm so sorry to interrupt. Shiv Kumar, sir, could you please move to a quieter area? There's a lot of background noise. Or you may rejoin the call.
Give me a second. Give me a second. Am I audible now? Is it clear now?
Yes, you are audible. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Great. So my first question is on standalone basis, we are not being that great. So, sir, could you please throw some light like why there's such a poor performance on standalone basis? And on the following part, when will it turn EBITDA positive on the standalone financial statement? And third one is what's the guided tax rate for FY26? That's it.
So, you know, we are not looking at standalone here. You know, Entero is a network of subsidiaries, both holding company and subsidiaries, right? So, you know, it is difficult to give, you know, standalone or subsidiary by subsidiary guidance. So, we always give a guidance on consolidated basis, which I just gave in the previous question.
Okay, sir. And, sir, what would be the tax rate for FY26?
See, tax rate, you know, the corporate tax rate is 25%. So, you know,
yes.
Make an effort to optimize on tax rate, you know, to more tax efficient, you know, strategy. But for the time being, you can take your guidance of 25% corporate tax rate.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Romil Jain from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So my first question is, I just want to understand the companies which we have acquired. They would be at what margin level at the gross EBITDA, whatever you can give some color on, and when are they included in our organic kind of pool? So, 1 year, 2 years down the line, they come in the organic pool. Just some color on that.
Yes, only in the first year of acquisition is they are, considered under inorganic. Post that, it is considered under organic only because, after that, we are in control of that company and we manage that business.
Okay, and what margins they would be at, just dissecting between the earlier businesses that you have acquired and the new businesses?
So I can only say that the businesses that we have acquired are at margin accretive. So they are at a margin higher than our current margin. So it's going to add to our overall margin profile. We are not acquiring anything which are margin dilutive.
Okay. And on the organic side, I just wanted to understand. So let's say whenever these companies come under the organic bucket, going ahead when our acquisitions kind of slow down, maybe in a year or two, so your guidance is definitely 1.5 to 2 times the the growth rate of IPM. So do we still see that if the IPM grows at about 8 to 10%, probably we should grow between 15 to 20% when the acquisition slow down?
Yeah, so organic growth rate is independent of inorganic, right? So based on our value proposition, based on our right to win, based on this fragmented nature of the industry, we expect that our growth rate will exceed the industry growth rate by 0.5 to 1x.
Sorry, how much, sir?
1.5x to 2x of industry growth rate.
Okay, and the margins are broadly on track to reach 4% or maybe higher than that in 2 years' time. What would contribute to that?
I just gave a guidance that, on FY26, we should exceed 4% on a full year basis.
Okay, sir. Thanks, I'll come back in a few. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gautam Gosar from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is basically on the organic business. So basically, you explained that we will grow at 1.5 to 2x of the IPM growth. But my question here is that in the last Q4 FY25, we have done 11% organic growth versus earlier in the year doing 15, 16, 17% growth. You are saying that we will have a similar rate in FY26 as well. So can you explain how will we catch up the growth which we did in Q4 and how should we look at it, the industry growth as well as our growth in FY26?
Yeah, so, except for this quarter, if you look at our growth rate for the full financial year for FY26, our growth rate was 2x of industry growth rate, which is on the higher end of our range that I gave you, right? And we expect that the same will continue. Typically what happens in fourth quarter, there is a little bit of slowdown from our side also because, at end of the year, most of the accounts and all, we kind of reconcile with our customers. There is a lot more focus on collections rather than on sales.
Understood. Secondly, sir, on the acquisition part, so we've roughly done around more 6 acquisitions of around 400 crores. So I would like to know more about the payout which we've done for these acquisitions and understand we have a cash on books of around 250 odd crores. So will that cash be enough to fund our future acquisitions or do we envisage a further fundraise plan or a debt plan for the same?
See, as of now, we don't have a new fundraise plan, okay, because the IPO that we did a year back has given us, we still have unutilized proceeds from that IPO and our balance sheet also, we have significant cash.
So I don't emphasize any immediate fundraise plan in our thinking.
Once we
start generating positive operating cash flows, you know, that amount will be available for acquisitions without fundraise.
Understood. But sir, this acquisition which we have done recently, this big acquisition, how much payout we have done for the same? Because this will come in the FY26 balance sheet, right?
Yeah, so, you know, normally we don't give exact payouts, you know, for both seller and buyer perspective. But I can tell you that the multiples are in the same range that we had guided before.
Okay, got it. I think we can take it off. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Akshat Mehta from Seven Rivers Holding. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Akshat.
Sir, first question that I have is I just wanted to understand last earnings call, we were guiding for a full year growth of around 35 to 40%. And we have kind of missed that mark by at least 5 to 10%. You know, I just wanted to understand what is the key driver that we kind of resulted in a lower growth than what it guided earlier.
On a full revenue recognition basis, our growth rate for this year was close to 31%, right, after adjusting for the quarter four, change in recognition method. So it's like 4% we are below, in terms of guidance that I gave. And it is primarily because in the delay in timing of acquisition.
Next year, should we see a kind of a higher organic growth because the acquisition will ramp up, the ramp up part of the acquisition will be shifted a bit to next year. Should we see higher growth from...
Akshat sir, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but there seems to be a lot of disturbance from your end.
Sorry, I should be much better now.
Yeah, is there an... If you're connected on two devices, there's an echo.
No, sir. I'm fine now. So, sir, I just wanted to ask if next year there will be a better organic growth since, you know, the ramp up of the acquisition will take place majorly in the next year of these 10 acquisitions.
Next year growth will be a combination of three factors. One is, you know, the organic growth on a continuing business. Number two will be the full year impact of acquisitions that we did this year and new acquisitions for next year. So it will be a combination of organic growth on continuing business, you know, full year impact of acquisitions that we did this year, but we recognize revenues for the full year next year, and the new acquisitions that we are going to do in this year.
Okay, sir. Also, I wanted to just have a clarification, sir. Did we say any target for how many acquisitions do we want to do this year as well in FY26?
No, we are not giving a specific number, you know, but as I told you that we have already done more than 400 crores, you know, that we have announced, and we have a pipeline, we will continue to execute more.
Okay. Last question, sir. I just wanted to understand, we have written in our board meeting outcome that we've cancelled the acquisition of one of the companies, I think Radha. What is the reason for that, if you can share?
Well, we actually cancelled that because we have a better, target which got available in the similar market with better margins and better, what you call, revenue profile.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Harshal Patel from Mirae Asset Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So just one clarification, wanted to know, for FY25, did you say that 11% of the growth in organic revenues or 24?
Yes, only for quarter 4,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, and sir, what would it be for the full year?
16%.
Okay, and the balance, I guess, would be through the inorganic acquisitions that would have come through.
Right. Okay.
Sir, that was it. And second thing, sir, would it be a good thing to kind of, you know, assume that or probably go ahead that in FY26 also we should be doing almost a similar level of acquisitions as we did in FY25?
What we said next year, you know, I gave you a kind of a revenue guidance, right, which is upwards
right.
of 30%, you know, and this will be a combination of organic growth, you know, new acquisitions and full year impact of last year acquisitions.
Yes, correct. Okay, sir. That's it. Thank you. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Binoy from Sunidhi Securities and Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay. So one question, you know, on the recent acquisitions that you've made, a few of them are on the North Indian side of the geography. I believe that market is a little more competitive as compared to the Southern Indian market. So will these acquisitions be margin accretive for us?
Yes, you are absolutely right. You know, the northern part of the country is a little more competitive than the southern part. But the acquisition that we have done is in specialty pharma. It's not a, you know, pure generic retail business, right? So the margins are higher in that segment. And that's the reason we acquired that.
Understood. Could you give a ballpark range of the margins of these acquisitions in aggregate?
We haven't given that number, you know, but you can take it as that they are higher than what we have today. It's a range, you know. Though some are at, you know, little higher, some are much higher, but on a blended basis, they are higher than where we are today.
Okay. In one of the previous presentations, you've mentioned that the acquisitions EBITDA margin range is roughly about 6 to 8%. Would these acquisitions also be in that range? Can I assume that?
Yes.
Okay. A couple of bookkeeping questions from my end. If you could just help me with the sales and marketing revenue for FY25, likewise, how much revenue came from the hospital segment for FY27?
Around 20-25% is from hospitals.
Okay. And the sales and marketing revenue?
You mean to say the business where we are doing marketing and promotion also?
Yeah, for the pharma companies, yes.
Yeah, it's around less than 5%.
Still less than 5%. Okay. And how much of the revenue would be coming from medical devices and surgical instruments, etc.?
I'll consult level across all our geographies. Less than 10%, close to 10%, I would say.
Okay. One last point, I was just looking at the, you know, the warehousing network. The number of warehouses on QOQ basis have been consolidated, and likewise the overall network is consolidated. I also see the PIN code, the district coverage also consolidated as compared to the last year. So anything to highlight out here?
No significant highlight here. You know, these marginal small, you know, plus and minuses is difficult to explain, but no major or significant thing to talk about.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Siddharth from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Sir, I just want to understand one thing. I mean, we have a long list of subsidiaries. I think if I've missed this question, if somebody's asked this earlier. Sir, do we ever intend to merge it into Entero, or we plan to continue running it in like a subsidiary only? And why so? Because, do you think it's operationally better that way, or just the rationale behind this?
In ideal world, you know, you would want one company to operate across India, right? But then, you know, because of our acquisitive nature of business, whereby, you know, we have bought stakes in multiple companies. So, and those, you know, companies have very strong regional goodwill and regional, you know, local name, which we want to preserve at least in the first few years. So we are not likely to merge them in the immediate future. But yeah, in a longer term, we will definitely, you know, kind of look at it.
Got it. So after a couple of years, because operationally, I assume it's a hassle to manage so many subsidiaries, because every year we have, like this year we did 10 acquisitions, coming year also we'll probably
similar number. So there's a you know, little bit of higher compliance cost and all because of the structure.
Correct.
But they are integrated on our technology base, so you know, operationally it's much easier to manage.
Understood, sir. That's it from my side. I just wanted to have a clarity on this, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Krupa Desai from Electrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my question was, in the medium term, where could the EBITDA margin grow? Can you give a ballpark guidance on that? 3 to 5 years in?
I've given for next year, right?
Yeah. So sir, I just wanted to understand, in the medium term, where can this number go? Once the scale comes in, like we are growing at 30% in the next year, and then going ahead, we can do double-digit growth. So where could the EBITDA margin go once the scale comes in?
And when you say medium term, what's the time frame that you're looking at?
3 to 5 years, sir.
So for example, I've said that next year is 4% plus, you know, and, yes. You know, earlier I had told about, you know, we should be targeting close to 5%, right? So the year beyond, we should, you know, reach towards that or move towards
okay.
that.
Okay.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Govindarajan Chellappa from CSIM. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, hi. Just a housekeeping question. For your FY26, what is the full year impact of the acquisition that you did last year?
Full year impact would be what? Around 1,000 crores, right? Somewhere around that, yeah.
Oh, sorry, you've done acquisition about 780 crores last year, right? In
yes,
FY25. So part of it already came in FY25.
Right.
So my question is, in FY26, I mean, how much was recorded in FY25, and the remainder, of course, will be the delta for FY26.
So delta would be around 500 crores.
Okay. So far you've recorded about 250 crores for in FY25.
Govindarajan, 250 crores was for quarter four.
Yes.
So overall, we've recorded around 500 crores.
Okay. So the delta is about 250 crores for next year.
No.
Yeah, but these businesses are also growing, right? So
sure, of course. And secondly, what's the IPM growth and organic growth assumption that you have in this 30% guidance that you've given?
8%, you know, IPM growth, 15 to 16% organic growth.
Okay. And lastly, in the long term, where do you think the working capital settles?
I think you know, long term is very long, but near term, 60 days.
60.
Yeah, I mean, next two years, we should target that 60 days.
Okay, and the delta, the improvement will come from, will it come from receivables or will it come from the inventory in warehouse?
Both. It will be a combination of both.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to one per participant. Next question is from the line of Mayank Agarwal from Scientific Investing. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. And thank you for the opportunity. So I have one question on the working capital. Like right now we have a 70-day cash conversion cycle. And if we estimate, like, you would need around 20% of sales as working capital. Now, assuming the current margin levels, it appears you can support around 15% annual growth organic without the need of the external funding. Like, however, you have stated the ambition to grow around 20 to 30% CAGR for the next few years.
So how do you see that debt and equity playing a role in this funding this growth? And would you agree with this assessment, and how are you planning for the capital structure accordingly going forward?
So that's what I said, you know, in the previous guidance that, you know, once we move to 4% plus, you know, margin structure and, you know, 60 days of working capital, the internal fund approval will be more than enough to support organic growth. And only for inorganic, we will use external capital, which we have already raised through IPO.
Okay, and like, if I can, one more question.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. May I request that you rejoin the queue for follow-up questions? There are several other participants waiting.
Okay.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vansh Solanki from RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi Prabhat. I just want to understand that last year we were talking about that we are doing the acquisitions which have EBITDA margin to 6 to 8%, right? So in long term future of Entero, can we assume that our margin also will go to 7% in long term future, or just because of corporate overheads we will stick around 5.5 or 6% around?
So I'll stick only to guidance for next year. Longer term guidance, I'll, you know, maybe the FY27 guidance, maybe I'll give sometime during the year, next by end of the year.
Okay. And just one more. I have gone through the Sai RK which you have acquired, which is acquisition value is around 70,000 rupees, but annualized revenue for financial 25 is more than 100 crores. So what kind of arrangement is that? Because you have given that it is a proprietary firm and you have acquired that.
No, so the model that we operate with, we create an SPV in which the business is lump sale into. Right, and the value that we have given is the only the value of acquisition of shares, but we will pay separately for the value of the business that is slump sale. So that value is not included in the, you know, the value that we give, because it's not directly paid to the seller.
Okay, so I have
Mr. Solanki, may I request that you rejoin the queue for follow-up questions? Sir, I'm so sorry to interrupt.
What I'm saying is, you can please connect with our CFO offline on this. He will be able to explain you better the structure that we follow. And this is the, consistently we have been following the structure since beginning.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ajish from Investor Things. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
My question is that, do you have any long-term target of ROE? I mean, in 5-6 years, what will be our ROE?
Yeah, so once, you know, once we are able to reach those margins that we spoke about, and that working capital target, we should be 15-20% ROE.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Swayam Rana Bhatt from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. I joined a bit late. So pardon me if my question has already been addressed. So I have only one question. Could you elaborate on the direct benefits pharmacists and retailers experience as a result of Entero acquiring the regional distributors? Specifically, how do these acquisitions improve aspect like fill rates, credit periods, and what other industry challenges are we solving for the retailers?
Yes, you know, the biggest challenge that retailers are facing is fill rate today, right? Because what has happened is the number of SKUs in pharma is huge because of the branded generic nature of the industry. Right. And as you know, it's a very fragmented and low entry barrier industry. That's why you have so many regional companies, local companies, national companies operating, right? And, you know, a retailer is struggling, you know, typically to provide all the items of the prescription to the patient. You know, typically we see that the fill rate of a retailer is not more than 60%. So if 5 drugs are written in a prescription, he's only able to offer 4, 3 or 2 or 3, right? Because he just can't store and manage so many SKUs. The problem that we are solving for the customers is basically the range, you know. So from one shop, from one of our warehouse, he can get the entire range, you know, because we are working with 2,500 pharmaceutical companies. So we have a very huge, you know, product range available with us, and which helps us to give him one stop shop. That makes his buying much less complex, his experience much better. And most of the geographies we are delivering 3 times or 4 times during the day. So, you know, our delivery time is also much lower. So combined with a lower delivery timeline and, you know, huge product range, you know, the customer is able to improve his own overall sales at his shop and also optimize his inventory at his shop.
Got it. So thank you for answering my question. I'll join back later. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Naman Bagreja from IIFL Capital Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just one question. Our second half OCF is positive for this year. Last year also our second half OCF was positive. So is it a second half phenomena where OCF is positive? Or let's say working capital is lower, or could you help me understand that?
You know, if you take the pharmaceutical industry and try to divide the sales quarterly, you know, typically the second and third quarter are high sales period, and you know, by fourth quarter generally the sales taper down because of end of the year and low season, and that's how it's also followed in our case also, you know. Typically, you know, you see the highest level of working capital in September because that's the peak season where you are operating at. You know, just monsoon period and post-monsoon is where, you know, the season is very high and you have to store, you know, inventory and all that, right? And which kind of, you know, normalizes by end of the year, right? So, you are right that, you know, last year we were, you know, operating cash flow positive for the second half of the year, but not for the entire year. And that's what I guided, that next year we are targeting to be OCF positive on a full year basis.
Okay. Sir, if I may ask one more question.
Sir, may I request you to rejoin the queue?
Sure.
Thank you. Participants are requested to limit questions to one per participant and rejoin the queue for follow-up questions, if any. Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ankur Gulati from Genuity Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just if you can give us some, how the industry has played out in the U.S. and how do you see it playing out in the industry? Any lessons for us to learn from the U.S. consolidation?
U.S. is on the other extreme of consolidation. You know, there are three distributors who have more than 90% market share. India is also moving towards consolidation, but it's not likely to go at that extreme level in near term at least.
And what are the factors which drove U.S. and what are the hindrances in India, just for our understanding?
See, India is much more complex geography compared to U.S. U.S. entire pharmacies are only 65,000. In India, our customer base is more than entire pharmacy population of U.S. So India has 1 million, customer segments, you know, 1 million pharmacies in India, very complex. So, you know, you can't supply to Guwahati from Mumbai, right? So you'll have a lot of, you know, regional centers and regional warehouses that you'll have to, you know, make closer to the customers. Number of SKUs in India is so much more than US. US is a generic market, you know, which is, you know, this is not a branded generic. India, you know, every molecule has 100 brands. So, you know, these complexities add to the challenge of consolidation.
Last question, any aspirational market share?
Mr. Gulati, I'm so sorry to interrupt. Yeah. May I request that you please rejoin the queue for follow-up questions?
Okay.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Naman Bagrecha from IIFL Capital Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Sir, just one thing on the revenue growth. So we've guided for 30% growth in FY26. which is equally divided between organic growth and impact of last year acquisitions and the new acquisitions. If I look, you know, if we do just a simple math of 15% kind of growth on FY25 number, which is closer to 764 crores. What we have announced, the acquisition, if I look, the revenue would be closer to 300 crores, given that the consolidation will happen post 15th August, right? So is the guidance a bit lower, because then 300 crores or 320 crores or 350 crores kind of number is the balance number, which is your revenue from last year's, let's say, acquisition. So is the guidance a bit lower, or the organic growth might be slower than our expectation? It will be helpful if you can help.
You are working out the math very well, Naman. And, you know, what we want to give is a more conservative guidance that we are 100% sure of delivery. You know, nothing stops us from delivering more than our guidance, right?
Sure. All right. And, sir, just one request. If you can
Mr.
Bagri, give us...
please, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I request you to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Binoy from Sunidhi Securities and Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to ask follow-on questions. Prabhat, one strategic question on the industry. So, Indian government is mulling OTC healthcare policy, and it has been mulling this policy since quite some time. Of late, it was again in the news that the government might allow distribution of, or let's say actually retailing the of OTC medicines through general trade stores as well, which is the Kirana stores, etc. Right. So, just your thoughts on this. Where are we in terms of OTC healthcare policy, and if it gets implemented, how does that impact our business?
So, you know, as of now, our customer base does not include Kirana stores. Okay. You know, it doesn't include Kirana stores. So we are focusing only on the retail pharmacies and hospitals, right? So if part of the sales of OTC moves away from retail pharmacy to Kirana stores, either we will have to prepare a plan to reach out to Kirana stores, or the industry size will become smaller for us. Our addressable market will become a little smaller for us.
But wouldn't you be, as a distributor,
Mr. Binoy, may I request you to rejoin the queue?
Let him continue. Please.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So, as a distributor, since you are, one leg before the retailer in the chain, wouldn't you, just as you are distributing to the chemist, wouldn't you essentially be distributing to Kirana stores as well? Because you're a distributor for the company, right?
It's a choice that we will have to exercise, you know, whether we want to just go for very, very few products to Kirana store, or we don't, because we'll have to work out the economics of doing that. Because your average order values will not be that high, right?
Understood. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for the thoughts.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harshi Shah from Beast Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, two quick questions. What is the timeline to complete remaining acquisitions? And second, all of the newer acquisitions made last year will have a full year revenue. So can we see margin upwards of 4%, because they are margin accretive, right?
On a full year basis, yes. So, but we are declaring quarterly margins, right? So the acquisitions that we did, in the middle of the year, in the last quarter, they are included, or you know, quarter three is included, but not in the full year. So full year basis, yes.
Yes, and the timeline to complete the remaining acquisition?
Harshima, yes. May I request that you rejoin the queue?
No, let's, my suggestion to you will be, let's continue the question so their flow is complete. Otherwise, you know, it's they will have to come back and then again reiterate the whole thing.
what are you saying?
The timeline to complete the remaining acquisitions.
I think the timeline that is given is 2 months, right? So two and a half. But we'll try to, you know, close it faster than that.
Understand. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Krupa Desai from Electrum Capital. Please go ahead.
So my question was, what is the plan for write-off of intangibles in future or now? Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, Krupa. So basically what we are doing is we have goodwill which is tested for impairment at every financial year. So goodwill, since we follow Ind AS, the requirement of the standard is that we do an impairment testing. There is no requirement of amortization of those goodwill. So we do the impairment testing every year.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Naman Bagreja from IIFL Capital Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Just a quick one. Just wanted to know what is the total purchase cost of all the 7 transactions. So 6 new entities. You could give also the only 6 new entities and 7th is available. I mean, peerless transaction you have already given.
Sorry, you didn't hear? Yeah, he wants the total cost of transaction. We only give multiples. We don't.
Yeah, so the total consideration we don't, disclose, because of confidentiality reasons from the seller side also.
Okay. So I guess the multiple will be at an aggregate level will be between 0.3-0.35x of revenue, or is there any deviation?
The guidance that we give is, the multiples are between 5 to 7 times of EV to EBITDA. So within that range.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
I would like to thank everyone for joining the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further queries which has not been answered, please connect with our, investor relations team. Okay. Thanks again for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of IIFL Capital Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.